Thank you, Clint. That's some great songs there. I'll firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord. It's great to know that we have a foundation that is solid and firm and steadfast in the day in which there's so many things are so unstable. You're living in an unstable world, and it's great to know that we have a rock, that which is firm, that we can turn to. I'd like for us to go back to the portion in Colossians again, memory verses that Uncle Dave had given to us. We looked briefly at them on a Thursday night, and I just want to elaborate a little bit more and perhaps in a different angle on some of the thoughts concerning the position that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and as a child of God and as heirs and joint heirs with Him, that our life is hidden in Him. In verse 1, since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. We talked about the fact that since we've been risen with Him, we're to seek those things which are above. Our focus needs to be on above, where Christ sitteth. We're looking up. We're looking to glory, because that's where the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's at the right hand of the Father. Set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. I just want to continue on this thought of, in verse 3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Paul says that our life is hid with Christ in God. When we recognize in Scripture the attributes of God, it boggles your mind to think that a God so supreme and so mighty, so glorious, so gracious, so kind, so merciful, and so on, would consider one such as we to set His love upon us and to consider those of us as we. To send His Son to die on the cross and shed His blood for our sins, to save us. The moment we're saved, Paul says that by one Spirit are we baptized into the body of Christ. We're in Christ. Our position is in Him. We're in God. All the attributes of God, all that the characteristics of God, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're with Christ in God. All that God has, all that He is given to His Son, and His Son has imparted to us. We're as much as close to God as His Son. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? You think of it. Just as close as the Son is to the Father, that's as close as we are to Him, because we're in Christ. From the time we're saved, we're by one Spirit, we're baptized into the body of Christ. We're placed into His body. We're members of His body and members one of another. And also in Christ in all spiritual blessings, Paul says in Ephesians. He's blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's our position. That's our foundation. That which the whole truth is built upon is that we're in Christ. And even in death, Paul says that when those that sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. We're in Christ. Those that are in Christ, who died in Christ, will God bring with him. We're in Christ. That's our position. That's our foundation. And that will never be changed. Isn't that wonderful? It will never be changed. It's for eternity. Our position in him can never be changed. It will always be the same. And sometimes we perhaps don't feel some days perhaps some days we don't feel as though that's true. Sometimes we might feel as though God has left us. And sometimes burdens can bear upon us and our feelings change and we feel as though he's left us. We feel as though sometimes our burdens upon us are greater than we can bear. And our feelings change from day to day, but the truth of the Word of God is that we're in Christ, and that will never, never change. It's a wonderful thought. We also see in these few verses the two words with Christ. Been risen with Christ. We're hid with Christ. And when a time that is yet to come, we'll appear with him. Clint asked me if I wanted water, and I refused it. Thank you, Jim. So I was wrong. You were right. What's the difference between in Christ and with Christ? Is there any difference? I've been thinking about that, and there's other portions that we're going to look at that speaks about the fact that we're with Christ. I think the fact that we're in Christ is our position that will never change. When we see that we're with him, we have more of an understanding. And we have, I think of the other word I was going to use, but we have a greater understanding or greater support of the fact that we are in Christ. Some of the truths that we see that he's with us, we're with him, is that which supports and that which undergirds the thought that we're in him and we're blessed with so much and we're in the body and we're members one of another and so on. Because we're identified with him. And it takes, when we see the word with him, he's dealing with some of the issues that is the Word of God speaks about, and as far as the fact that we're crucified with him. And let's turn to that just for time here. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says that I'm crucified with Christ. And I think some of these things that we see, it helps to support and helps to us to understand the fact, the truth, that our position will never change. Everything is based upon the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ will die and bury and rose again. And he's coming again. What does it mean that I am crucified with Christ, as Paul says? But it's Christ that liveth in me. We looked at the fact that we're hid in Christ. We're hidden in him. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. Here we see that his life liveth in us, not hidden. And sometimes we can allow his life to be hidden in us, not alive at all. How can that be? How can his life be hidden? No evidence. Or I should say, perhaps little evidence. Because once we're saved, we're saved for time and eternity, and God is the one who's in control. But perhaps little evidence. Perhaps that he's shaded in some way. He's not really living. Perhaps there's a cloud or something that hinders. But his life living in us is what produces the faith. Not by the works of the law and so on. Law couldn't produce faith. Law produced works. But the Lord Jesus Christ produce to us faith. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Let's go back to the thought, I'm crucified with Christ. What does that mean? Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I'll begin with verse 5. If we have been planted the word is to be united with him. We've been united together in the likeness of his death, so shall we also in the likeness of his resurrection. Paul is talking about our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been united with him in the likeness of his death and also in the likeness of his resurrection. Speaking here of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing this, that our man of old, or old man, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. When we see the word crucified, and the old nature The old man was crucified on the cross of Calvary. What does the cross mean today? Sometimes you're out in public and you see some people wearing a cross. What does it actually mean to them? To some people, it may be a religious symbol. To some people, it may provide some type of security, so they wear it. I'm not talking necessarily judging people's motives, but in some case, it may be so. And it's wonderful when we see the fact that what the cross speaks of is truly born out from the life. We see crosses on churches, different places, cemeteries in different places. The cross speaks of nothing more than the suffering and death. We sing the song, "The Old Rugged Cross," an emblem of suffering and shame, the writer said. And that's what the cross speaks of. And Paul says, "I glory in nothing, God forbid that I should glory in anything else but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." But if the truth and understanding of that cross is not from the heart, then what effect can it have to that person? If they don't fully understand the cross and the true significance of the cross, and has been there to the cross, and has knelt and asked God for forgiveness of sin and asked Him to save me, what good is the cross? Though you may wear it and so on, displayed, but that's the bottom line, is when we recognize that it's Christ crucified. We're crucified with Him. We died with Him. Our old man, our old nature died with Him. I remember a few years ago, I didn't say few, more like a number of years ago. Up in New Brunswick, there was three brothers who came through one time, and they were advertising revival meetings. So it was a group of us that went. It was near the Bible school where we were going, and so we all got together in a car and we went. In the what they were teaching or preaching was the fact that you need to crucify the flesh. You need to get rid of the flesh. You need to take that step, next step, and come to the cross and crucify self. And all the lusts of self. But as we looked in Scripture and so on, it's not what the Scripture is saying, is it? You can't crucify self. How can we crucify our old nature? Bring it to death. The total death. You can't. The Lord Jesus Christ has done it all. were crucified with him. It's his death on the cross of Calvary that causes us, that's brought forgiveness of our sin, but took upon him that sin and has given us that position in Christ that will never change. Positionally, we have been crucified, our old nature has been crucified with him. And Paul goes on to say that the body of sin might be destroyed, body of sin might be done away with, rendered powerless, that henceforth we should not serve sin. To serve sin in our life, to allow sin to take hold and become our servant, is one who is not recognized. All of our nature has been crucified on the cross, and he did it all, and he wants us to walk in obedience to him. So many things distract us. Sometimes we come into the chapel and you can feel very dirty inside. Sometimes within our heart we can feel dirty. I've done that. I've come to the Lord's Supper. You can partake of the emblems and yet feel dirty inside. That's possible. Sometimes we fail to keep short accounts with God. We can allow sin. We can try in our own mind to justify and say it's okay. It's all right. God says no. He wants us to confess our sin and not allow sin to be our servant. I'm going to go to James. James chapter 1. Verse 13. But no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. For every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now James is saying that we can't blame God for temptations. God tempts no man to do evil. Satan is the origin of sin. Brought doubts in the mind of Eve, hath God said, and you won't really die. Eve believed, and she gave to Adam, and man fell into sin. But there was a loss there. It's a loss. He's drawn away of his own lust. Don't blame God. God tempts no man. But he's drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. The word enticed is the thought of a bait in a trap. You set a trap, you bait it, and if you're trapping a mouse or that, it sees the bait and smells it or whatever and goes into the trap and gets caught. It's the same thought of the word entice. The thought of getting a lust. There's the lust and there's the enticement of that it comes to. Come into the trap. There's the lust. And the Bible speaks about the lust of the eyes. That's the beginning, is the eyes, the desires of man. But notice he says in verse 15, that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Another word is used there is conceived. When that lust conceives. Now, in order for there to be a conception, there needs to be two. And it's the eyes of man, the desires of man, combined with the heart of man, the impulse of the heart of man, brings forth sin. Appealing to the eyes become the impulse of the heart. There's a seeing, there's a desire, and then there's a response. And as the heart yields to the temptation of the lust that is in the life of the individual, that comes in the life of the individual, it will fall into that trap and get caught. It conceives and brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brother. He's speaking to believers. So this is the type of thing that we need to be on guard on. We've been crucified with Christ. The old nature has been rendered powerless. When he died, he took upon himself our sin, the sin of our old nature. We're crucified at the cross. It's already done. We need to appropriate the fact that he wants us to live in obedience to him. When lusts, the temptations, the traps of Satan that come our way, he wants us to stand for him. Recognize we're our life is hidden in with him in God, and to recognize that we need to not to give in, not to allow sin to take hold in our life. But it's a wonderful thought when we do fall into sin, that God is ready to forgive. We confess our sins. He's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us. We might feel dirty inside. He wants us to be clean and to confess our sins. We might have a life that is pleasing to him. Back in, our time is just about gone, and in Romans chapter 6, in verse 8, for if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And I think he's talking about the life in the Lord Jesus Christ that is hidden in him. If we believe, we'll also live with him. Great support of our position in him, that if we believe, if we truly believe, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We're to be men and women of faith that really believe. Not just playing the game or half-heartedness or whatever fits our thinking. No. He wants us just simply to believe. What he says in his word is true. And we stand on his firm foundation. I just want to finish up back in Galatians chapter 6. As I quoted some of it a little bit earlier, but God forbid that I should glory, save, that's verse 14, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, that's by the Lord Jesus Christ, the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. How could he say that the world is crucified unto me? The old man is crucifying the flesh, the old nature, but the world is crucified unto me. The word for world has the thought of the cosmos, the whole world system that the world works on. Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, the whole involvement and the whole structure of the world, its whole system. Paul says, I have been crucified unto me. Amazing thought, isn't it? It's been put to death. It's all of the powers and the influence and so on, and that which bears upon man, the powers of Satan, the demons, and all of the evil that this world produces has been crucified unto me. And I have been crucified unto the world. Amazing thought when we think of it. It's very sobering, isn't it? That Paul says that when the Lord Jesus Christ died, all the powers of the world, all of the world system, has died at that time. And I am crucified unto the world. It's not possible for the world to come in and completely control and take away all that God has given to me. It's not possible. It's not possible for all the forces to come in and overtake that which God has done in a believer's life. Because once we're saved for eternity, aren't we? It only comes so far because the world has been crucified unto me. That isn't to say that the influence of the world is upon the life of a believer and so on. But it can only come so far. And as Paul says, we've been crucified unto the world. He did it all. And that's a little bit of what the cross speaks of. The cross speaking of his death of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished. Oh, we need a foundation like this in the world in which we're living, don't we? Something that will never change. And the Lord Jesus says he'll never change and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But he'll ever be with us for time and eternity. We're crucified with him. Our life is hidden in him, in God.